stand for the reading of God's word, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And all of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Tell somebody in your neighborhood, we're going to get the whole family. Oh, I don't know if they believed you. You need to tell somebody. If they won't look you in the eye, then look them in the ear hole. Look them upside the head, but tell them we're going to get the whole family. We're going to get mama and them, our cousins. We're going to get our brothers. We're getting them all. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of all them. Come on, somebody. I'll let you say those Hebrew names. And then he said, listen, all of you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Ormond Beach, Palm Coast, Daytona, Holly Hill, Flagler, Bunnell, come on somebody. Yeah, I hear y'all shouting out your location. And Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Whew. Tomorrow. Somebody say tomorrow. Things might seem a little tight right now, but tomorrow. Somebody say tomorrow. Get a tomorrow in your spirit right now that whatever you're facing, it's going to happen. It's a season, not a sentence. Tomorrow go down against them. They will be coming up from the ascent of Zib. One translation says from the cliff. Somebody say the cliff. The cliff of Ziz. And you will find them at the end of the ravine where the wilderness of Jeruel is. They were standing literally. Their enemies were standing on a cliff. They were standing on the cliff of Ziz. And then the Lord said, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be discouraged. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. If your neighbor is allergic to noise, he's going to be offended by you today, because you're not going to praise God quietly. Somebody that don't mind praising him loud and high, just praise him loud and high. I feel chill bumps. I'm just telling you, I feel something in the room. I said, praise him loud and high right now. So they arose in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will prosper. What are you believing today? I'm going to believe the Lord, and I'm going to believe his prophets. So he consulted with the people, and he appointed singers to sing to the Lord, who should praise in the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who came up against Judah, and they were all defeated. Somebody say, the battle is not mine. Somebody say, the battle is not mine. Say, the battle is the Lord's. And somebody declare, he has never lost a battle. Now open up your mouth and praise him loud and strong. Praise him loud and high. Praise him loud and high. Praise him loud and praise him high. I want to bring you a revelation of Yahweh Sabaoth today. If I was going to subtitle it, I would title it this: He Fights, You Sing. You just worship and he takes care of everything else. Are you ready for this oil and this word? Come on, it feels significant this morning. Father, I thank you for what I feel here today. You can't buy this and you can't sell it, but you can attract it, Lord, when we create atmospheres that give glory and thanks to God. We thank you, Lord, that your mercy is not seasonal, that it doesn't come and go. Lord, you said in this text that your mercy endures forever. So God, we give you praise for breakthrough. We give you praise that the battle is not ours, it's yours. Now, if you receive it, give God praise for victory even before you see it. Give God a shout loud. Loud and high, come on. Before you sit down, tell everybody in your neighborhood, the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. Thank you guys for being faithful. Last week I had taken a Sunday off and hung out with my best friend, my girlfriend, the jelly on my biscuit, the gravy on my potatoes, the hot sauce on my greens, the guacamole on my burrito, my midnight rendezvous. Come on, somebody. It was good to hang out with her, and it's good to be back home. If you're ready for the word, just wave at me today. All right, you by live stream, thank you for being with us. Jehoshaphat here in this story is the son of Asa, and he ruled Judah in a moment, in a time when the kingdom finally had peace on every side. Have you ever had times and seasons in your life where you said, man, here we are. I have finally got to a place where it seems like I'm seeing perpetual breakthrough and there is peace on every side. And the Bible said literally that the fear of the Lord was upon the surrounding nations, so much so that none of them dared in that time to even make war against Judah. And I want you to understand something. As I was reading that this morning, spending time with the Lord before I spent time with you, of course, because I don't believe that you need to talk to men about God until you've talked to God about men. Can I get a witness in here? But the Bible said that the spirit of the Lord, the fear of the Lord fell on the surrounding nations. So none of them dared war against Judah. Here's what you've got to understand. Their fear was the fear of the Lord. The devil doesn't fear you. He's not afraid of you. He's not afraid of your resources, your gifting, your skill, or your ability. But when you get Jehovah behind you, the enemy does fear the God that you serve. But suddenly, in the middle of all that peace, in the middle of all that time of breakthrough, without warning and out of nowhere, a coalition formed that no one saw coming. A coalition of nations came together to invade Judah, including Moab and Amnon. And there was a company that would gather from Mount Seir, and the descendants of Edom joined together and they crossed the Dead Sea. And what you've got to understand is these were not strangers. These were the very nations that God had told Israel generations before to take pity on them and don't bother with them as Israel came up out of Egypt. These very enemies God had once protected, and now the very ones that Israel or Judah had blessed are the ones that came up against them in the strongest and most significant way. And I want to tell you, the very enemies that that Israel had protected and been kind to was the ones that came against them trying to destroy their inheritance. And I stop by to tell you that sometimes the people for whom you've showed the greatest mercy and done the most for are the very ones who wind up coming after your inheritance. The people that you've blessed the most and been the kindest to, the people that you've showed the most grace to. And that's how it works. The threat against your promise doesn't always come from the way you think it's going to come. And it doesn't come from the people you think it would come from. That the reality is that this coalition had already made it deep inside Judah's territory before even anybody knew what was going on, before Jehoshaphat ever even got the word. And by the time he found out, the enemy was then approaching the border. The enemy was already inside the land. Have you ever been there in your life? Have you ever seen times where warfare manifested that you didn't even know was going on? People were talking about you that you didn't even know was talking about you. There were things that the enemy was doing behind your back that you didn't even know he was doing. The very people that you were helping and serving, they sat at your table and ate your food. They were blessed by you, and they were blessed by your presence and your resources. They were the very ones conspiring against you, and you didn't even know it until the attack. Can I find some real people in here? This moment, Jehoshaphat is in trouble because the enemy was already inside the land. The enemy was already there. And at this moment, Jehoshaphat is standing in a place where he doesn't know what to do. So he calls a fast and he gathers the nation together and he stands in the house of the Lord before the new court. And in that moment, he had no army that was large enough to fight these people off. He had no treaty among the nations that had been signed, and he didn't have time to build one or time to make one. Everything was against him. All he had was an altar and a name. I'll say it again. All he had was an altar and a name. Sometimes you don't have the money. Sometimes you don't have the answer. Sometimes you don't have the resources. Sometimes you don't have the strength. Sometimes you don't have the power. Sometimes you don't have the plan. Sometimes you don't understand what's coming next. You don't feel like you have what you need. But I'm telling you, as long as you got an altar and as long as you got a name, then no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. I came looking for some people today who may not have what you need in the natural, but you still got an altar that you can call out to, a name that is high above every. If you still got a name, somebody give God praise that the name of Jesus is still high above every name. Some of you only survived what you survived and made it through what you made it through because when you didn't have the ability to overcome the warfare, you had an altar and you had a name. Hallelujah to God. He was in trouble, so what did he do? He went to the altar and he sang. He went to the altar and began to praise the Lord. Now, there are over 100 names for God, and I'm only going to teach 99 of them today. No, I'm kidding. I'm only going to teach one. There's a name for God woven through this entire passage that most readers will just jump right over, and it is the name Yahweh Sabaoth, and it literally means the Lord of hosts. Sabaoth means the Lord of hosts, the Lord who commands the armies of heaven, the Lord who is, this is not the Lord who is the choir director. We think of the Lord of hosts and we always think of angels singing. No, this name shows up over 200 times in the Old Testament, and it's almost always in moments exactly like this. Hannah cried out to the Lord of hosts, the Bible says, when she had no child. David ran to defeat and meet Goliath, and he came in the Lord of hosts, in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. Isaiah saw him high and lifted lifted up, and the seraphim cried, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." This is not a soft title. This is not a weak title. This is a title that tells you my God controls all that is, and he is the God of angel armies. Come on now. And when God's people stand in front of an enemy too big for them, he does not send help. He shows up as help. I'll say it again. God is not sending help. He is the help. Hallelujah. I said he is the help. When Jehoshaphat stood in front of the armies of Moab and Amnon and the others, he was facing a multitude. It was intense, and we've all been there. If we haven't been there, there are seasons when we'll get there. You say, I've never been there. What do you have to say? I would say you're either lying or keep living. Come on, somebody, because it will happen. He's standing at a collision point. He's at a place where, do I quit? Do I give up? Do I stop? Or do I trust God? He's standing at a collision point between two armies. One is visible and one is invisible. The visible one is what he can see. He can sense it. He can see it. He can hear it. He knows it's there. It's marching up from beyond the sea. But the invisible one was the army that was commanded by Yahweh Sabaoth. And he has already decided the outcome of the battle before Jehoshaphat even got in the war. He had already decided how this thing was going to go. And I want to tell you, here's what I want you to know. Yahweh Sabaoth is still alive and well. The Lord of hosts did not retire after the Old Testament days. Honey, he put on flesh. And John tells us in the gospel, quotes the gospel of Isaiah and says his glory was spoken of him. The very glory of the Lord of hosts in the temple. And John said that glory belonged to Jesus. Jesus is Yahweh Sabaoth in a body. And when we get that revelation, the picture comes into full circle, because when John sees the heavens open, there's a rider that's going to come down in the last days, and that rider is called Faithful and True, and the armies of heaven will follow him. This is not a parable. This is not something we've heard. So when Jehoshaphat cried out that day to the Lord of hosts in the wilderness of Judah, he was crying out to the same commander that has redeemed your life and set you free. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the captain of the host. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. The army of Jehoshaphat could not see, in 2 Chronicles, the same army Jesus commands in the book of Revelation was coming to their rescue. So I want to unpack some things today. And the first thing I want to tell you is this. No matter how great your problem is, your God is greater. Okay, that shouting stuff right there, I'm going to say it one more time and see if it hits anybody on your row. I said, no matter how great your problem is, your God is greater. Fifteenth verse, do not be afraid or discouraged because of the reason of this vast army. Jehoshaphat was a godly king. Y'all, he was doing the right thing. He was serving God's people and serving the Lord faithfully. Then he faced the greatest crisis of his life. A great multitude was moving towards him to steal the very land that God had given him and his people. He had given them that as an inheritance. And I want to tell you, the enemy for some of us, some of you here today, has threatened what belongs to you. He threatens your family. He will threaten your son, your daughter, your job, your ministry, your anointing, your health, your resources. He will threaten your future, your peace, your joy, and your strength. He will come against you and tell you, I'm going to steal it. But I stopped by this morning to tell you that your inheritance is not the devil's to steal. It's yours to possess. Somebody raise up your hands and make this radical declaration. Say, my inheritance is not the devil's to steal. It's mine to possess. Now give God praise like you're going to possess everything. You're not going to let this warfare seduce you into fear, but you're going to possess everything God has for you. Jehoshaphat was confident, watch this, in what he believed belonged to him. In other words, he wasn't negotiating with the enemy. And I came to tell you today that you have to believe that whatever God promised you is yours. Don't be discouraged. Now that's what the Bible said, because discouragement is a real thing. Discouragement is something that we all fight. And the Bible said, do not be discouraged because of this, for reason of, that's what one translation said, for the reason of this great army that's in front of you. When you define that and you look at that from a Hebrew perspective, reason of means in the face of, in the presence of, in front of this murmuring multitude. This murmuring multitude in the atmosphere of noise and confusion, listening to a crowd that sounds bigger than it is, that sounds stronger than it is. And you may be here today and you feel like I have been in front of what feels like a murmuring multitude. I have had to deal with noise, confusion, but I want to tell you that the enemy is trying to sound bigger than he actually is. The enemy wants you to think he has more power than he actually has. Sometimes we reason and try to compare God and the devil. But you've got to understand that they are not on par with each other. It's not this warfare that is a fair fight. It might not be a fair fight, but it's a fixed fight. It is not God warring against the devil and who has the real strength and who has the real power. I came to tell you today that we serve a great big God, but there's a little bitty devil. And the enemy wants you to make you think that he has more power than he has. He wants to make you think that he has more authority in your life than he has. But I say to the murmuring multitudes that have set themselves against your life, shut up in the mighty name of Jesus. I'm going to open my mouth and I am going to declare Yahweh Sailboat over my life, and he is on my battlefield. You may be standing in the face of a murmuring multitude, but I came to tell you, precious, no matter how big your problem is, no matter how great your problem is, Yahweh Sabaoth is greater. Sabaoth here in this text, that you need to understand that when he arrives, Sabaoth is in the plural. It's not one angel. It's not one warrior. It's not that reinforcements are on the way, but it's a host. It's layered. It's surrounding. It's the full weight of heaven that has positioned itself around one purpose. Tell somebody, I'm surrounded. Come on. I'm surrounded. There is no multitude on earth large enough to outnumber the God armies of heaven. There's no multitude. There's no weapon, not your diagnosis, not your debt, not your struggle, not the attack. There's not one thing that has chased your generation, chased your family, even if it's chased them for generations. You are the one that can stand up and say, it won't make it down to my children and my grandchildren. God has not given you a spirit of fear. God has given you power. He's given you love, and he's given you a sound mind. Come on, somebody. I said, come on, somebody in the room. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? I said, do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? I said, do you believe it? No matter how great your problem is, your God is greater. Don't praise him unless you trust in God for a breakthrough. But if you need a breakthrough, just go ahead and praise him right now. Yahweh Sabaoth has more soldiers than your enemy has weapons. And not one of his soldiers has ever lost a fight. And the Bible said he'll give his angels charge over you. Second thing I want to show you is this, is some things have to be believed to be seen. That there's no greater enemy in your life than the enemy of unbelief. The enemy wants to sow in your life an unbelieving spirit. But the Bible said in the 20th verse, he said, believe in the Lord your God and you will be established. Are there any believers here today? Okay, I'm going to ask you again. I'm looking for believing believers, because sometimes we wear a title as believers, but there's many unbelieving believers. Let me hear from somebody in the room that's a believing believer today. If you're a believing believer, do you believe in healing? Do you believe in power? Do you believe that God is on your side? Do you believe that no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper? Do you believe he's a supplier? Somebody ought to, if you're a believing believer, just thank God today that whatever he said about your life is yes and amen. It is reality. Glory be to God. See, here Jehoshaphat is. He has obeyed the voice of the Lord, and then he finds himself in a wilderness place called the wilderness of Tekoa. And Tekoa means stockade. It means bondage. It not Tomoka. Come on, somebody. Tekoa. It's a fortified town on the edge of the desert. Have you ever been doing good and the best you could for the Lord, and all of a sudden you wake up and find yourself in a wilderness you can't explain? Have you ever been doing your best, doing exactly what God told you to do, and you found yourself in a Tekoa? You can be right in the center of God's will. You can be right where God called you to be and still find yourself standing in a wilderness. And you can find yourself being threatened by the enemy. And I want you to know, the enemy fights hardest right before the breakthrough comes. So when things don't turn out the way you thought they would turn out, when you get in this wilderness place and everything seems to be coming against you, when you start questioning, did I really hear God or not? Did I miss the Lord? Did I hear you, God, or did I not hear you? Here's what you have to do. You have to do what the instructions were in verse 20. You have to believe the Lord. You have to believe the Lord that if he said he's gonna do it, he's gonna do it. You have to believe the Lord about your children. You have to believe the Lord about your future. You have to believe the Lord about your finances. You have to believe God when everything is going the way you thought it would not go. Because the Bible said, believe and be established. You can't establish yourself in your money. You can't establish yourself in your influence. You can't establish yourself with your resources. But when you stand on the rock that is the Lord Jesus Christ, you are established. I'm looking for some people right now who understand, maybe I'm in a season of warfare, but I still believe God, and God will establish what he said in my life. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Never let the devil see you sweat. I said, never let the devil see you sweat. Believe and be established. How many of you know that we're made in the image and likeness of God? My wife is smart, y'all. Mm-hmm. She knows the way to motivate me is to brag on me. Because when she starts bragging on me, I start doing whatever she says that I could do. Look at this pickle jar. I can't open it, but I know you can open it. Can you get this for me? I'm like flexing. I get over there, babe, and it's hard. Y'all ever had a pickle jar that had a spirit on it? Come on, somebody. And you're like, what is good? Your hand slides around and you turn it over, you beat the bottom of it. You get a butter knife and hit. Y'all talking to real people up in here. But let me tell you, I am not going to put that pickle jar down until it's open. I will gnaw it. I will bite it. I'll put my teeth on it. I will do whatever it takes. But she said I could do it, so I can do it. Because she brags on me until I show up and do whatever she says I'm going to do. We're made in the image and likeness of God. And when you begin to brag on God, when you begin to say, you are my way maker, he said, well, okay, I'll make a way. When he says, you're my healer, he said, okay, I'm here to heal. Lord, you're my captain. You fight every. Okay, I'm here to fight your battle. Some of y'all have been rehearsing what you don't have rather than establishing yourself and believing. I want somebody right now who believes in the Lord your God. Open your mouth and give him praise like he can take care of this season. I said praise him like he can take care of this situation. Somebody say, I believe, I believe. I believe, 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 I believe. Push out that doubt. I believe, I believe. My children are going to repent. My family is going to serve the Lord. My finances are going to come together. I believe. Jehoshaphat then put feet on his faith, and he appointed singers to walk out ahead of the army. Singers. Did we not have some radical praise and worship today? Y'all better give our team a hand. Singers. Not the strongest men. Not the sharpest weapon. But walking, warfaring worshipers. Walking point blank onto the battlefield. Walking right into warfare, giving God glory. Did you know that there's a tribe in the Bible called Judah? Judah means praise. I don't know if you know it or not, but you're in a Judah house today. Now, if you know anything about Judah, it was always Judah that was out in front of the children of Israel. Anytime they were going into the desert and they journeyed as they were journeying to the promised land, Judah led out front. And Judah means praise. It was praise out front. Praise in the hot times. Praise in the thirsty times. Praise in the lean times. Praise in the struggling times. See, there's some of you here today. The only reason that you've survived what you've survived and made it through the desert that you made it through is because you knew how to get Judah out front. You might have lost some money, but you didn't lose your praise. You might have lost some friends, but you didn't lose your praise. You might even lost your way, but you didn't lose your praise. I dare somebody who's going through a desert right now or who's ever been through one, if you've got Judah out front, just open your mouth and give God praise that Judah's going to help me. I said, Judah's going to help you survive, honey. And watch this, it was always Judah that arrived at the battlefield first. Hours before the enemy even got there, Judah would go to the battlefield with their tambourines and their drums, and they would begin to praise God out on the battlefield before they even drew a weapon, before they even threw a spear, before they even shot an arrow. Judah was out on the battlefield, maybe facing the Hivites, the Hittites, the Amalekites, the Jebusites. Some of y'all been dealing with the crazy husbandites and the nagging wifeites and the bill collectorites and the demon-possessed childrenites. Y'all don't make me preach today. You've been dealing with the crazy sisterite. Can I get a witness or the brotherite that has lost his mind? What you have to do is go ahead and praise the Lord even before you win the battle. Judah would get out there and dance all over the battlefield, giving God praise like the victory had already come. from. The reality is anybody can praise the Lord when you got money in your pocket and your children are saved and you got everything you want. But when all hell is breaking against you, when you see the enemy before you, but you got Judah and you say, I'm going to praise you, God. Do you know that when you praise like that, you insult the enemy? Do you know that when you praise the Lord before the battle's even over, that the devil is so confused? I dare somebody right now, even if you hadn't seen everything you want to see yet, but you know God is on your side and you're going to win in the end. Open up your mouth and insult the enemy. Wait a minute. That was okay, and I'm not going to turn these guys loose yet because I got a lot of teaching to do, but you ought not need an organ or a drum set. You ought not need anything to kind of pump you up. All you ought to do is say, devil, I'm here to insult you and tell you my child shall serve the Lord. My resources are protected. My body shall be healed. Somebody open your mouth on the battlefield and give God a praise right where you are. An insult. Singers, clappers, praisers, shouters. Come on, somebody. Praise is the sound that announces which army you belong to. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I want to announce which army I belong to. Give me 20 seconds. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. It don't matter if you can sing, speak it. It doesn't matter if you can carry a tune. Open up your mouth and praise the Lord. My. I have to be careful. This thing can go nuclear in just a minute. I'm trying to teach, but Lord have mercy. It doesn't matter if you can sing, man. Speak a praise. Open your mouth. Whisper a song, shout a prayer, declare the word. You're in the car, by yourself, come on. You remember years ago, we were at the stoplight, babe, and we were in a fight, a battle, and we had something playing on our sound system in the car, and I said, my God, I feel this, and I shook the wheel like that, and she said, what in the world? I said, I feel breakthrough in the car. I said, it's in the car. And I started praising God in the car. I was, y'all bear with me because I'm a praiser. And I just was praising God all up in the car. And we're at the stoplight. She said, what are you going to do? I said, I just got to praise him. I opened the door, got out of the car, and I praised God in the turning lane. Touch three people and tell them I'm in the turning lane. Oh, you missed it right there. Somebody say, I'm in a turning lane. God's about to turn this thing for my good. I'm about to turn out of that battle and into that victory. I'm in the turning lane. Somebody who's in the turning lane, open up your mouth and give God praise. He's about to turn this thing. He's about to turn your family. He's about to turn this situation. Somebody give God a praise that America's in the turning lane. My nation's in the turning lane. I say it by faith. Tell somebody I'm in the turning lane. Yeah. I got a green light. I shouted all over that in that turning lane. I did, didn't I? Don't. And then I got in the car. She said, do you feel better? I said, actually, I do. Hallelujah. Here's what you got to know. You will never break through until you praise through. Some things have to be believed to be seen. And praise is the proof that you already believe. If your praise was the proof that you believed, how would you praise him? Somebody praise him like you believe right now. Come on. I'm going to give you, I know I'm trying not to let this thing get undone yet, but somebody praise him like you believe right now. Praise him like you believe. Praise him like you believe. Some things have to be believed to be seen. When you praise the Lord, it's proof that you already believe. In other words, I'm not waiting until the battle's over. I'm not waiting for the diagnosis. I'm not waiting for the children to repent. I'm not waiting for the outcome of the settlement of the situation or the circumstance. My praise is proof that I already believe that it's coming to pass. Well, you say, well, why do you praise, Jim? Why do you praise? Number three, because praise brings God to the battlefield, and God has never lost a battle. Praise brings God to the battlefield, and God has never lost a battle. So here Jehoshaphat is, and him and his army begin to sing, and as they sang, their enemies started getting confused and turned on each other and destroyed themselves. They destroyed their own influence. They destroyed their own power. I came to tell you today, Jehoshaphat never had to swing a single blow. The Lord was on his side. And as they began to praise the Lord and the army began to sing, the enemies turned on each other and they destroyed themselves. I decree and I declare that today as you begin to praise the Lord, that the enemy is going to get so confused by your praise that he will destroy himself. Hallelujah. Demons and devils and agendas are falling. I said demons, devils, and agendas from hell are falling. Come on, you don't have to fight the fight. You have to open your mouth and praise the Lord. Right? I said right? The Lord had sent them to a place with no real standing ground. It's called the Cliff of Ziv. It's a falling off place. It's a cliff. The enemy's already there. And the enemy didn't even know where he was. God positioned them at a cliff. The Cliff of Ziv, on the edge of the wilderness. The enemy didn't even realize where he was. They had a brook below them and nowhere solid behind them. God didn't send Judah in that moment to fight in an open field. He sent them to watch the enemy stand on the edge of a cliff. Tell your neighbor, the enemy is on the edge. Yeah, he don't even know it, but he's right on the edge of being defeated. The enemy doesn't even know it, but he's right on the edge of losing my family. He's right on the edge of having to let go of my daughter. He's right on the edge of having to, he's right on the edge of having to let go of my children. He's right on the edge. The devil thinks he's winning, but God's got him right where he wants him. I said, God's got the enemy right where he wants it. The devil is standing on a cliff and calling it solid ground. He's standing on the cliff and calling it solid ground. Every plan the enemy has built against your marriage, your child, your health, your ministry, your future, your purpose, your resources, the devil's standing on a ledge. He's standing on the edge and he doesn't even know it. He thinks he's got a hold. He thinks where he's at, it's going to hold. But all it takes is one sound from heaven's army to push that devil over the push the enemy over the edge. You know what that sound was? That sound was praise. It wasn't a battle cry. It wasn't a let's get the forces together. It was when the people of God opened their mouth. Now we can go and begin to give God praise. Give me some musicians out here to help me. I said now we can go. So I dare you, lift up your hands right now. Open your mouth and praise God. Somebody shout. The word praise in this text is actually the word hallel. It's where we get our word hallelujah. Hallel, when you defined it, it means to shout, to boast, to shine, and to praise loudly. And here it is. When we say hallelujah, we're saying hallel to Yahweh. That I'm going to shout to Yahweh. That I'm going to boast hallel to Yah. Hallel to Yah. That's hallelujah. Hallel to Yahweh. It literally means I'm going to praise God right where I am. I'm going to shout, boast, and shine. I'm going to tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I'm just trying to prepare you for what's about to happen on this road. We ain't going to sit here today. We're not going to be cute and religious today, but we're about to shout, to boast, and to shine. Get your neighbor by the hand and say, neighbor, your radical praise can send the enemy right over the edge. I want about 1,000 people. Not everybody, but if just 1,000 of you would get on your feet right now and push the devil over the edge. Push the attack of the enemy over the edge. Your praise is pushing the enemy. Your praise is pushing the enemy. I said your praise is pushing the enemy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel breakthrough in the house. The text said tomorrow, go to the cliff of Ziv and open up your mouth and praise God. I need somebody to praise God over tomorrow, right now. Your today may look rough, but I came to tell you, praise God over your tomorrow. Somebody ought to shout over your tomorrow. Today my body may be sick, but tomorrow I'm gonna be well. Today my children might be lost, but tomorrow I'm gonna break through. I'm not gonna get trapped in today. It may be hard today. Somebody give God a praise. Hallelujah. 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 Hallel to Yahweh. Some people don't know why you're acting like you're acting, but your praise is pushing the enemy. Your praise is pushing the enemy. Your shout is pushing the enemy. Your clap is pushing the enemy. Your freedom is pushing the enemy. Your worship is pushing the enemy. Tell your neighbor, push. You wept long enough. You've cried long enough. Tell 5 people, push. Oh, I'm attracting God to my battle. I'm bringing the Lord to my battlefield. Somebody's pushing hell over the edge. You're pushing the enemy over the edge. Take about 20 seconds and give God the most radical praise. Somebody say push. Somebody say push. You may not feel like praising, but push it out. You may not feel like shouting, but push it out. You may not feel like dancing, but push it out. Push yourself to give God glory. Push, push. Tell somebody your shout makes you dangerous. Yeah, we're about to get loud. because the people praise the Lord loud and high. The Bible said they shouted and praised loud and high. Tell somebody your shout makes you dangerous. One of the names for the devil is the prince of the power of the air. He doesn't have real power. It's the power of the air. He exists in the firmament, in warfare. That's how warfare is. I could teach this, but I'm just going to say this. He's the prince of the power of the air. But we serve a king named Jesus. And the last time I read my Bible, a king outranks a prince. Somebody say, he's the prince of the power of the air. And years ago, I heard somebody say he had studied sound, and he said in acoustic study that there was something about the sound of a human shout that shreds the air. And the devil is the prince of the power of the air. He doesn't want you to know it, but every time you're standing in a battle and you open your mouth and begin to shout, you are shredding the devil's agenda. You are shredding hell's agenda. You are pushing the enemy. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's about to get louder. I'm about to shred the enemy's agenda. Somebody open your mouth and give God a praise. Shout! Shout until every voice that is risen against you has to be quiet. Shout until the devil has nowhere to stand. Shout until he runs out of room in your life. Praise God until he has no solid ground. And your praise brings the breakthrough. Sing until your praise outweighs the attack. Tell somebody something's about to shift. Ah, help me out here, praise team. Get your neighbor by the hand and say, neighbor, something's about to shift. Give them the most radical shake you can give them and say, something's about to shift. Come on, y'all, hurry. Move with purpose, praise team. Get out here. I feel something wanting to break in this house. Something's about to shift. Tell somebody something's about to shift. If you believe God's about to shift something in your life, open up your mouth and shout like you know it can happen. Are you ready? I said, are you ready? Are you ready for your children to shift? Are you ready to have Yahweh Sabaoth up, show up in your battle? If that's you, tell somebody something's about to shift.
Hallelujah, we say something's about to shift. Oh, say something's about to shift over my family, over my home. We say something's about to shift.
Hey, hey,
we believe something's about to shift.
Somebody roll. Something's about to shift. I need about 100 dancers to just dance before the Lord. Come on.
Something's about to shift.
Give me about 100 dancers up front that'll dance right now before the Lord. Something's about to shift. Something's about to shift. If you believe it, give God praise.
Something's about to shift.
Yeah, yeah.
Something's about to shift.
I believe it, I believe it, I believe it, I believe it, I believe it.
Something's about to shift.
Something's about to shift. Somebody give God praise. children.
Something's about to shift
in my mind, in my attack, in my ministry.
Something's about to shift.
Something's about to shift. Hey, 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 hey.
Something's about to shift.
Hey. Say it again. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Something's about to shift. Oh, it's changing. Something's about to shift.
You ready? Here we go. Themselves, and they could carry it away. They were 3 days gathering the spoil because it was so much. They called it the Valley of Baccarat. And Baccarat means the place where God blesses. I want somebody right now to open up your mouth, because it may seem like a fight, but this is the place that God is about to bless you. Open up your mouth and take the spoil. Come on, open your mouth. I feel something in here. Come on, begin to praise Yahweh. Yahweh Sabaoth. Come on, begin to praise Yahweh Sabaoth. That's it. That's the agenda. That's the way. He fights. You sing. That's the strategy. That's the revelation. There it is right there. That's the whole victory. He fights, you sing. I said, he fights, you sing. I said, he fights, you sing. I said, he fights, you praise. He fights. You can't win it by yourself anyway. I said, you sing, you praise, you worship. The enemy thought you were going to quit, but you're lacing up your boots. The enemy thought you were going to quit, but he is sadly, sadly mistaken. Everybody standing. Come up here, Pastor Dawn. I feel like there's some prayer in you to pray victory over people here today. Who receives this word? Nobody leave for just a moment. If you received God's word today on Yahweh Sabaoth, if you feel like this was for you, can we open our mouths and give God praise for his word? That would be good if a revelation didn't just land in your spirit that could potentially change everything. Who's receiving this? You by live stream, you ought to stand up in your house right now and receive this. Thousands of people that are tuning in. We've got pastors that will watch this after the fact. You need to go ahead and stand up in your office. Pastors that have felt like quitting, giving up, I'm talking to you now. Lace up your boots. Put on your backpack. It's time to ride. Even in the agendas the enemy's had against your ministry, the enemy is, he's at a cliff of Ziv. And your praise will push him over the edge. Somebody came in here today. Can I talk to you from my heart now? I love you, and you know I do, and I'm going to bless you before I release you. How we believe in the power of the spoken word and the spoken blessing. So I'd hate for you to try to run out and get to the Cracker Barrel and you might get your biscuit but miss your blessing. Come on. But somebody came in here today and you've been carrying a fight that was never assigned to your hands. You hear me? You've been carrying a fight that was never your assignment. You've been running scenarios at midnight. You've been laying in your bed, running scenarios. You've been fighting in your own strength, trying to be a general in a war that only heaven can win. You've been trying to save yourself, but I've come to tell you, I need you to stand down. I'm not saying you give up, but I'm telling you, you need to put all your natural weapons down. These fights were never yours to win or yours to carry. God will design fights that you can't win. So when he intervenes and the breakthrough comes, he gets all the glory for the victory. Yahweh Sabaoth commands the armies of heaven, and he is on your side. He positioned Judah at the cliff of Ziz, right with their enemies, and their worship and praise pushed the enemy over the side. John saw Yahweh Sabaoth prophetically, and it's Jesus. He's leading the angel armies in the last days. And listen, he'll win heaven's final battle. And he's never lost a battle, and he ain't gonna start with yours. I want you to get just one neighbor by the hand. You don't have to kick everybody by the hand. And some of y'all are so weird about that. We got some hand sanitizer somewhere around here. But tell your neighbor, say, just so you know. No, tell them again. Say, just so you know. I'm going to be better when this battle's over. Yeah. I'm going to be more blessed. I'm going to be more broke through. Yahweh Sabaoth is going to manifest for me. I believe that while you were here today, precious, praising God. Now listen, when I preach like this, I always got those people who say, you know, that Jim really is trying, he's hyping people up, trying to encourage people. Guilty as charged. How many, you know, you got enough mess trying to discourage you? Reach over and touch somebody. Don't you just pray over us. Tell me what you feel.
I feel all kind of stuff, but I feel that God is here. Jehovah Sabaoth is here. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the same God he was for the children of Israel, he will be for you. He will be for me. And this was not some hyped up word. I feel in this room that many came today right in this same kind of a standing ground where these children of Israel were. And God has just given you a word. And that word is to put your trust in my name. So I break the stress off of you. I break the striving off of you. I break the performance off of you to come through this thing on your own, in your power or strength or knowledge or wisdom. I break that off of you right now. And I declare that you stand simply in the praises of your God, under the grace and the loving kindness, the unfailing love of the Lord that he has for you, and he will fight it for you. It's too big for you, and he has brought you here today to begin to set your attention upon him and release all the stress in the name of Jesus. I break it off of you. I lift the heaviness off of your shoulders and the weight that you've been carrying, and I declare the grace of God, which is your strength, carries you, and you go from this place in his peace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo. And I stood there and I thought, I could just imagine if those children of Israel were in that moment, the moment they recognized the enemy had been pushed over that cliff. Can you imagine? I mean, could you imagine? You've been under that fear. Come on, you've been in that moment, and all of a sudden, you see the enemy gone. Gone. Not a threat to you anymore. No more power coming against you. And you stand there in the freedom in that moment. Can you imagine the praises that must have went up? Can you imagine the tambourines and the dancing that must have taken place in that moment of the children of Israel? Can you imagine the shofars that began to blow? Hallelujah. I think we need to praise God. I think you need to praise him like the enemy has been pushed over. That something has shifted in the name of Jesus. Who shall deliver us? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Somebody give him one more shout of praise this morning. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The joy of the Lord is your strength. Woo! Can you imagine?
I want you to testify. Amen. To everybody around you, if you can say it. Because I think our praise today pushed the enemy over the edge.
Over the edge.
Come on. I'm not listening to the murmuring multitude. Come on, somebody.
Hallelujah.
Just tell everybody around you, I feel so much better. Just tell them, say, I feel. And tell them, say, you even look better. Come on, say, you got better looking. Raise up your hands. Here it comes. I'm going to bless you now. Man, I love you so much. You're so precious to me. I missed you last week. I couldn't wait to get back to be with you. I got in yesterday from Houston at 4 a.m. And then celebrated my baby daughter who's getting married. Come on, y'all. Isn't that neat? Hold up your hands, but I couldn't wait to be here today. I believe there's something I'm going to impart to you now. Listen, you may still have to endure the gathering of the murmuring multitudes. You may still have to contend with the enemy, but don't you stop praising God. Your praise is going to bring the Lord to your battle, okay? So you make that perpetual. Something shifted for you. And how many of you know sometimes you win on the inside before it manifests on the outside? But I believe in the next 90 days, I really do that. I heard you, Holy Spirit. God's going to begin to shift things for people just supernaturally. Okay, gathering of precious ones, raise your hands. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. If you receive it, I'm singing it over you right now. Come on. The Lord bless you. His face shine upon you, be gracious to you. Come on, I'm singing over to your family right now. His face toward you. I'm gonna sing it one last time. Wave your hands now for your children, for your whole house, for your family. Here we go. The Lord bless you. His face shine upon and be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you. Now they're gonna keep playing. You greet your brothers and sisters. Come on. You love your brothers and sisters. Spend some time in fellowship here. I'll be in the back to meet our guest. I love you more than words can say. Thank you for being at Calvary today. You by live stream. I appreciate you.